Isn't it too much to give Mary everything? Great question. We're going to address that on this episode of The Gary Zimek Show. Stay tuned because it's coming right up. Boy, I'm really excited. It's a special day here. Today, September the 8th, is not only day 5 of our preparation for total consecration to Jesus through Mary, but guess what? Today is the Blessed Mother's birthday. So, you know, how much more special do you get? We're going to take a look at the Mass readings for the Blessed Mother's birthday. We'll do that later in the show. We're going to look at the material for day 5 of the consecration preparation. Should we really give Mary everything? You know, yesterday, Father Gately dropped the bombshell that by making this total consecration to Jesus through Mary, what do? We give all the merits for our good works, all the fruits of our prayers, we give them to Mary. We let her dispose of them. Obviously, that sounds radical. And I expected to get some responses, and I was not disappointed. That's it's an absolutely valid question. If I am giving everything to Mary, as St. Louis de Montfort suggests, am I still allowed to pray for people? And furthermore, how about this one? And this will come up, I'm sure this will come up as we go through the process. Am I still allowed to pray directly to Jesus? Can I still speak to God the Father? Or do I only get to speak to Mary? We're going to talk more about these questions as we go along. And in fact, today we'll tackle the first question. What happens when I want to pray for somebody else? Is it okay? Well, the answer is it's absolutely okay, and you should still continue to pray for those whom you love, those who've asked for your prayers. And I hope after I'm done talking about it today, it'll be clearer, but if it's not, you can always email me at gary@followingthetruth.com. And the other question is, if it hasn't come up yet, I'm sure it will soon, is can I still pray to Jesus? Absolutely. The Blessed Mother's main goal is to get you to turn to Jesus and to pray to him. A lot of what she'll do for you is behind the scenes. So essentially, you want to, and we'll have plenty of time to talk about this as we complete the 33-day preparation, but essentially, as you get closer to Mary, you'll want to speak to her, but you'll also want to speak to your Father, God the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. When I asked Father Michael Gately about this when he was on the show a few years ago, I said, Father, what would you say to somebody who asks this question? Should I turn to Mary? Should I turn to the Father? Should I turn to the Son? Should I turn to the Holy Spirit? He said, speak to them all, because if we're part of a family, and this total consecration strengthens those family bonds. Now, those of us in a family, we're not going to just talk to one of our brothers, one of our sisters, the Father, my father, my mother. We talk to everybody, and that is what we're called to do. So absolutely, once you make this total consecration, you still will be encouraged to pray for other people's intentions, and you'll also be encouraged to speak to our Lord. No, we're not going to just be speaking to the Blessed Mother, but let's talk about this as we go onward with this this preparation for total consecration. But I really like the way this is laid out, because the way Father Gately set it up yesterday, there were some questions about the material, and I think he did this on purpose. Today we'll take a look at, should we really give Mary everything? And again, I want to give you that email address, gary@followingthetruth.com. If you have any questions, please contact me. We're already in day 5. We've got 33 days to go. You can see, you can do the math. You'll realize this is progressing. We're getting there. And wait till we get into the second week. And then before you know it, we'll do the third week. It happens this way all the time, and then we'll be ready. But just for the moment, just enjoy the preparation. Let's take it one day at a time, and we'll continue to ask the Lord to be with us on our journey. I'd also like to add, tomorrow morning at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time, I'll do my weekly segment on EWTN Radio's The Sunrise Morning Show. I'm going to be sharing a Bible verse that I think you would like to hear. If you're somebody who tends to be anxious, I think you'll enjoy this. So if you get a chance, Sunrise Morning Show, I do it every week at 6:35 a.m. Eastern Time every Wednesday. Let Not Your Heart Be Troubled, a segment that we dedicate for those of us, and I include myself in there, those of us who tend to be anxious. The Lord doesn't want us to worry. and he can really help us if we let him. And that's what I've learned. That's what a great deal of my ministry is all about. It's reaching out to those who are anxious and helping them to achieve peace. The other thing I want to mention, because I realize that since we did this, we began this total consecration effort, I have a lot of new listeners. I make the bulk of my living by going out to parishes and speaking around the U.S. and Canada, wherever it may be. I would love to come to your parish and speak. I have a number of topics that I can discuss, and I'd just like to be able to meet you and meet your parishioners. If you would like to invite me or to find out more about what it would take to get me to speak at your parish, please visit my website, followingthetruth.com. You can take a look at my most popular talks. You can find out some of the details for contacting me, or you can email me directly at gary@followingthetruth.com. And I would love to be able to come and meet you in person. I love taking the message to the street. It's such a good message. It's the good news, right? This is what we all should do. And I just enjoy it. It's the greatest job I've ever had, and it's a blessing to be able to spread the good news. Today's beverage du jour, in case you're wondering, listen to this. Boy, is that good. My wife Eileen made a nice big pitcher of iced tea. I got a slice of lemon in there, so I am all set. I do have to mention, I want to thank those of you who have purchased Mystic Monk Coffee. You know me, I drink a lot of Mystic Monk Coffee on this program, and I'm pleased to be associated with the fine products that they put out. If you'd like to taste some of the greatest coffee that you've ever had, if you're a coffee fan like me, they have coffee, they have iced coffee, they have tea. These are authentic Carmelite monks. They're based in Wyoming. Please visit followingthetruth.com and click on the Mystic Monk image, and you're going to be able to get yourself some of the greatest coffee that you've ever had. These monks are very devoted to our Blessed Mother, too. And they produce an excellent product. And every time you purchase from Mystic Monk Coffee, you help me to keep this show on the air. So if you're able to do that, I would greatly appreciate it. The monks would appreciate it. And you will get yourself some great coffee. All right, let's pray, and then we'll get into the material for today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Father in heaven, thank you once again for giving us another day. We're very grateful that you have allowed us to be alive for another day. Please let us know what we can do for you. Please give us the strength to continue with this total consecration preparation. Please give us the insight and the wisdom to better understand and appreciate the Blessed Mother's role in our lives. We ask you to bless us, to bless our families, to bless those around us, to bless all we're making this total consecration, and keep us on the right track, on the path that will one day lead to eternal life in heaven. Father, I turn this program over to you. I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to speak through me. And please open our minds and our hearts to be receptive to your message. We ask for this in the most holy and sacred name of Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. We turn now to our Blessed Mother Mary on her birthday. And Blessed Mother, we turn to you and we ask for your help. We ask you to continue to reveal yourself to us and to bring us closer to your Son, Jesus. And we pray, Hail Mary, full of grace. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of Peace, pray for us. Good Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Louis de Montfort, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. All right, I'm all set to go. Thanks so much for tuning into the program. I think this total consecration is going very well, judging by the responses that I'm getting. We're all on board with this. I love 33 Days to Morning Glory. I think it's a good and updated version of preparation for total consecration. I think by the end of this 33-day period, you're going to get a real good feeling for what total consecration is. And if not, you know I'm here for you. Just shoot your emails my way, and we'll tackle your questions. We'll get you there. Expect a life-changing experience, but I will say this. Immediately when you make your total consecration, you might not notice a difference. It might take a while. It might take a year or more to really begin to appreciate the changes in your life. Your life is not, for the most part, I mean, there are always exceptions, but I don't expect your life to be turned upside down. Don't expect all of a sudden chaos to develop in your life. But what I would expect is changes that will happen, and eventually what you'll find is that you'll be drawn closer to Christ. That's generally what happens with total consecration. You'll be able to overcome sins that you couldn't overcome before. You'll be able to, you'll have a greater desire to spend time reading the Bible, going to Mass, spending time in Eucharistic adoration, following the Lord. Whatever it is, you will be drawn closer to Christ, going to confession more. This is generally how Mary will work in your life. And I don't think you'll be disappointed. Let's take a look at the material for day 5. Should we really give Mary everything? Part 1. And then tomorrow we'll take a look at should we really give Mary everything? Part 2. And then let's see. After that, a quick, easy, and secure way to holiness. And guess what? Beginning on Friday, we move into the second week of this preparation. You believe that? The first week is almost in the books. So hang in there. We've got a lot more to cover, but I hope you're getting something out of this. Should we really give Mary everything? Part 1. The second part of de Montfort's formula of consecration says that we should give Mary everything, including our interior and spiritual goods, which are our merits and our virtues, and our good works, past, present, and future. Isn't this a bit too much? No. It's perfect. It's beautiful. Let's see why by learning how the offering affects others and ourselves. And you know what I like? I like the fact that Father Gately, and I've talked to him, and you could tell by reading his writing here, he understands that when we first hear this idea of giving Mary everything, it seems like it is too much. And at least he understands that. So if you feel that it sounds like it's too much, you're normal. This does sound like too much to most of us. But let's hear what he has to say. In regard to others, when we fully consecrate ourselves to Mary, we lose the unconditional right to distribute the value of our prayers and good actions to others. In other words, we give the rights to the grace or merit of our prayers to Mary. And we're telling her, Mary, I give you the right to distribute the grace of my prayers as you see fit. And again, if we stopped here, you might panic and think, I don't know if I want to do this. Father Gately continues, making such a gift to Mary has a big benefit. It ensures that the grace of our prayers will be used in the best way possible. I'm going to read that again because I think this is crucial. Making such a gift to Mary has a big benefit. It ensures that the grace of our prayers will be used in the best way possible. It works like this. Because of her unique vantage point from heaven, and on account of her most intimate communion with her divine Son, Mary can best determine which people are most in need of our prayers. Now let's read that again. I know I'm going slow here, but this is so crucial that you get this. I lost my place here. Because of her unique vantage point from heaven and on account of her most intimate communion with her divine Son, Mary can best determine which people are most in need of our prayers. And I think that's the thing that we forget. Even though my intent is to do good for my father, my mother, my wife, my friend, maybe the prayers that I'm praying are either not what they need the most, or maybe somebody else needs our prayers a little bit more. I mean, that we have to accept that as a possibility. I don't know everything. And if I look at Mary being in heaven, being sinless, being the mother of Jesus, and I look at my judgment, I can't see any way how any of us could say we know better than Mary what somebody needs spiritually, right? All right, back to the book. For instance, seeing some forgotten person in China about to die in despair, Mary can take the grace of our prayers and offered up sufferings and use it to help that dying person to trust in God and accept his mercy. So in other words, Mary might see someone who needs our prayers more than the person for whom we're praying. And when it comes to the possibility of someone losing their salvation, that's a big need, right? And that has to be addressed. Father Gately says, perhaps this idea has got some of us thinking. Well, that's great. I'm happy to help the dying person in China whom I don't know, but I would be disappointed if I therefore couldn't use the grace of my prayers and good works to help the people I do know, like my family and friends. I'm worried that if I give Mary the right to distribute the grace of my prayers and good works, then I thereby lose the right to pray for those whom I especially love, even if they're in less in need than the other people in the world. And Father goes on to say, this is a legitimate concern, but there's no need to worry. Why? For two reasons. First, Mary makes the good things we give her more perfect. In other words, she augments, increases, and purifies the spiritual gifts and merits we give her. When we give them to her, because she makes them more perfect, there's more grace and merit to go around. Right? And that's a really great thing to remember. When we give the graces and merits to Mary, she multiplies them. She purifies them. So there are more graces and more merit to go around. And he says, St. Louis uses an unforgettable analogy to explain this. It is as if a peasant, wishing to gain the friendship and benevolence of the king, went to the queen and presented her with a fruit, which was his whole revenue, in order that she might present it to the king. The queen, having accepted the poor little offering from the peasant, would place the fruit on a large and beautiful dish of gold, and so, on the peasant's behalf, would present it to the king. Then the fruit, however unworthy in itself to be a king's present, would become worthy of his majesty because of the dish of gold on which it rested and the person who presented it. Here's the second reason we shouldn't worry. Mary is never outdone in generosity. And you know what? To be completely honest, I think that this is one of the things that we forget. But if we would look at the life of the Blessed Mother, if we look at her constant charity, her constant yes to the Lord, her constant taking care of other people, we see the wedding at Cana, we see Mary was concerned that the wine had run out, we forget just how generous Mary is. We forget that we're not turning over these graces and these merits to somebody who is selfish. Remember, she never sinned. Mary cares. Back to the book. So if we're generous as to give her the right to distribute the grace of our prayers and good works, she'll surely be especially generous to our loved ones. In fact, she'll take even better care of our loved ones than we ourselves can. For instance, let's say one of our family members or friends is in need of prayer, and we don't know it. Well, Mary knows it, and she'll make sure that that person doesn't go without. Giving Mary the right to distribute the grace of our prayers and good works doesn't mean we still can't pray for our loved ones. We can and should pray for them. Did you catch that? Giving Mary the right to distribute the grace of our prayers doesn't mean we can't still pray for our loved ones. We can and we should still pray for them. It's just that we give Mary the final say in deciding to whom and for what purpose the grace of our prayers and good works should be applied. And I think if we take that into consideration, that I can still pray for the soul of my deceased father, I can pray for my family, but if Mary takes a look, but what I'm really doing is giving her the final say. The Lord loves everyone. And the Lord wants everyone to be able to get to heaven. If my prayers can be better used to help somebody else, and Mary knows that, I have to trust her, or I should want to trust her enough to do that, realizing that she's not going to let my family member be harmed in any way. And I think that's the important thing to keep in mind. And if you're not completely okay with that, remember, we're only on day five. And what I would ask the Blessed Mother to help you. I would ask the Holy Spirit. I would ask the Lord Jesus to help you to understand this more. And as we go through this process, that's why we're doing this for 33 days. We're not asking you to make this commitment right away. And if you look, Father has built the case. He's gradually building the case. A few days ago, we took a look at the six popes who have endorsed this devotion. As you start to meditate upon this, and this is, remember, these lessons each day are meant to be meditated upon. We should think about these. So I want you to think about this and pray about it and make sure that this is what you want to do. I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. This sounds radical. But having done it and having talked to so many people who have done this, it's an amazing, amazing thing to do. Total consecration is a tremendous and beautiful thing for all of us to do. But I invite you to pray about it, and I invite you to just consider this and understand what you're doing. That's why we're doing, that's why St. Louis de Montfort recommends that we do a 33-day preparation, more or less. It can be modified if needed. We can do less, we can do more. But he wants us to realize what we're doing. Back to the book. Remember, Mary is not outdone in generosity. She especially hears the prayers of those of us who have given her everything, including the value of all our good works. And she wants us to tell her of the people and intentions we hold in our hearts. If we've given her everything, is there any doubt that she'll be generous in giving whatever good we ask for those who are dear to us? Remember, this is the mother of Jesus. We're not just turning these graces and merit over to anyone. This is the mother of our Lord. This is the person who Jesus gave to us while he was dying on the cross to be our spiritual mother. Why? Because he knew that we would need a spiritual mother to help us get to heaven. This is a great gift that we've been given. But continue to pray about this. Continue to ask for the Holy Spirit to guide you and to open your heart to this, and then meditate upon this, right? We have to think about this as we go about our daily lives. Think about this. Would Mary really do something to cause spiritual harm to somebody that I'm praying for? Is she going to steal the graces and merits from somebody in my life? Do you think she would do that? And then just be open. And I think what happens is when you decide, you make this decision to consecrate your life to Jesus through Mary, like we will do on October the 7th, when you do that, you're placing your trust in her. You're really trusting that she's going to be there for you. But this preparation period allows you to grow closer to her and to be more willing to make that commitment. The prayer today, come Holy Spirit living in Mary, help me be generous in giving all that I have to Mary. Now, if you notice, the prayer we make to the Holy Spirit, the prayer we pray to the Holy Spirit, is asking for help. We're asking for that generosity to be able to give her everything. Because it doesn't come easy to many of us. We like to hold on to things. We like to control. It's not easy for us to do this. So tomorrow we'll look at Should We Really Give Mary Everything, Part 2. And as always, if you have questions, please let me know. Gary@followingthetruth.com is my email address. Now, I spoke a lot longer about this than I did some of the other meditations, but this is a really, really important day. I want to make sure that you're on board, or at least you understand the nature of what it is that we do with this total consecration. But I have time to read the gospel. This is the gospel from today's Mass, which is the Feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The gospel is, there's a long form and a short form. I'm going to read the short form. It is the genealogy. It comes from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1. I'm going to read the short form, though. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about, when his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph. But before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention, when, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that the child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All of this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. St. Joseph was afraid, but he was a righteous man. He wanted to do the right thing. And because of what was spoken to him in the dream, the message that he received from the Lord through the angel, through the Lord's angel, Joseph decided to go ahead with the marriage to Mary, even though on the surface the details didn't make a lot of sense. So there was some trust required there, right? That's the trust that we're being asked to place in our Blessed Mother Mary. And again, I always go back to looking at the church and the fact that the church approves this devotion. Several popes have endorsed it. Great saints such as St. John Paul II, Blessed Mother Teresa, St. Maximilian Kolbe all endorsed this devotion. And you're going to hear more about them as in the weeks ahead. We have to understand, I think sometimes we just have to come to grips with the fact that there are people who have a greater faith than we do. And I would say the saints, since they're in heaven, I think they have a lot of credibility. St. Louis de Montfort was a saint, or is a saint as well. So for us to trust them and their knowledge, along with trusting in the Lord Jesus, and remembering the fact that he gave Mary to us while he was dying on the cross, we put that all together, trusting in Mary to get us to Jesus is a good commitment to make. But the reason we do this preparation, the reason it takes so many weeks, is because we have to think about it. We have to meditate. We have to imitate Mary, who pondered things in her heart. And that's what we are all called to do. Because Mary said yes, and on this day, her birthday, we have to remember, because she said yes, you and I have a Savior who redeemed us. Had Mary said no, we could still be waiting for our Savior. Don't ever forget that. Mary trusted. She had great faith. I need her help. I have seen miraculous things happen in my life and the life of my family because of this total consecration. And I strongly recommend that you continue on. Let's take it one day at a time. We're at day 5. We've got a lot more to go before we make our total consecration on October the 7th. Let's continue to take it one day at a time and ask St. Louis de Montfort, the Blessed Mother, God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, to help us, to pray for us, so that we'll be able to make this commitment freely. And then, I'm going to tell you, things will happen in your life. It might not be drastic, but you are going to see changes. And when you really see changes, if you look back several years, I look back from now until the time I made my first consecration, and there's a drastic change in my life. It's more of an internal change. I do things now. I'll be willing to step out in faith now in ways that I never was willing before. So give it a shot. Let me know if you have questions. God willing, I will be back here tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Actually, before 8 p.m. Eastern time, we'll load up the podcast. I think you get how it works by now. But if you have questions, let me know. And thanks for being here. It really means a lot to me. I'll be praying for you. Please continue to pray for me and for all of us making the consecration. God bless.